It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena. Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Morena, Rachel. I'm pretty good, thanks. So like a lot of people, I'm sort of marking the calendar down. How many days to Christmas?
Yes.
But I've got a pretty hectic couple of weeks coming up, and hopefully in the last week before Christmas, it'll start to wind down and you can start to feel that festive season atmosphere. But I'm not letting myself get there yet because I've got a few things to focus on before that can happen.
I think it does also feel quite strange coming straight out of lockdown into this kind of festive end of the year time. We have had our first weekend at the traffic light systems here in Tāmaki Makaurau. What have the reports been like for you and for council facilities, also for just the sort of energy around the city? How are people sort of responding to this?
Oh, I think really positively. Last Friday it was, and I started off the day at 8:30 in a bar up in Kay Road, not drinking, I hasten to add, in case people think that's a very, poor way for a mayor to start a working day, but on a television show up there. And there were early morning people in there, and they were celebrating being able to be back together and enjoy a breakfast out. And I ended up the day with another interview, actually, down on the Viaduct Basin at one of the big places down there. But walking down and walking around the city, even up here in Federal Street, you know, totally different atmosphere in the city once hospitality opens up again and the city comes back to life and there are people around. I think the pedestrian count on Friday morning in Queen Street was up about 20%. Talking to bar and restaurant owners, they said, you know, they were doing pretty well. Maybe it wasn't as busy as it was for this time of the year pre-COVID, but still, I mean, you know, actually the best thing was just seeing how much the staff were enjoying themselves at various of the cafes and restaurants that I went into to have a chat. You know, people were really glad to be back at work, and people were really glad to be able to be able to go out and enjoy a drink, enjoy dinner, or breakfast,
absolutely,
or lunch or whatever.
Totally. Yeah. How is the conversation tracking at the moment about more al fresco dining? I know that's something that has been in the works for quite some time. Where are we at with that?
Yeah, haven't heard a lot back from government on that. They were looking at, you know, whether there's a need for a temporary change in the liquor laws to facilitate that. I kind of get the sense that they feel, well, you're back at orange now, the places are open, and back at red, I should say, and, you know, I don't know, I've got no idea whether the government will feel confident enough to put us into orange on the 13th when they look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got to weigh up all the factors, the health risks, Omicron, if it gets to New Zealand, which most of us assume that it will. So, I mean, a little bit of the heat's gone out of it. I'd still like to have seen that change in legislation to promote al fresco dining. I mean, it's November, December, maybe my memory's poor, but I just can't remember a month this early in the summer where things have been so warm and it's been great to be outside and just a bit warm at night when you want to throw the blankets off, you know. Would be great for al fresco dining. So I kind of had hoped the government would move more quickly on that. But, you know, they've focused, I think, pretty much on the vaccine pass and the new traffic light system.
Will the council be chasing that with the government before Christmas?
Yeah, we have been. We've been putting in regular calls to say, hey, what's happening in this space? But not, you know, and there's, face it, we've only got five parliamentary sitting days left. Even if they put something through under urgency, it's going to be a very much 11th hour if they do that. I'm still keen for them to do it, but it just seems that maybe some of the enthusiasm from the central government end for this proposal has waned, and they say, oh no, work your way through the traffic lights, because that's making a difference by itself.
Well, let's talk about climate change, the other big topic of the day that we do come back to often. You have recently proposed to charge households a climate levy. Now, this has been met with mixed responses. First of all, what do you mean by this climate levy, and what would that actually look like in effect?
Yeah, well, look, you know, all the information that's given to us, whether it's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change at the UN and the COP26 meeting, and all of the experts right across New Zealand have said, time's running out. You've made this commitment as a city, as a country, to halve emissions by 2030. And our officials have been very blunt with us and said, we're not even remotely on track to achieving that. They said, time is of the essence. What we need is transformational change, not minor changes bit by bit, with a few dollars here and there. I accept that. There are not many climate deniers out there now, but there's a hell of a lot of people. I read a columnist on the weekend that said, I'm not a climate change denier. I just don't want to do anything about it.
Okay,
well,
but putting
that's not good enough.
Putting the impetus on households seems like quite an individualising move to perhaps dealing with the problem of climate change. Why is this something that the council is approaching as a key strategy?
Well, that's the way we raise our revenue. We have no other way of raising revenue to do anything about climate change. And what we're proposing for the medium value property of, you know, 1.18 million in Auckland would add up to about $1.10 a week in a targeted rate. A targeted rate is transparent. You know what it's for, you know how it's being spent, and you know the law says it can't be spent for any other reason than what it was raised for. And I'm saying to people, you know, there are people out there, the Ratepayers Alliance, they don't want us to spend any money on anything, and somehow mysteriously we'll survive this. Well, we won't. I'm saying $1.10 a week, that's about the best investment you could make in the future of your kids and your grandkids. And it's not going to break the bank for anyone, but it is going to enable us with some matching funds from government and increased public transport fares, because more people are using public transport. It is going to enable us over the 10-year period to raise about $1 billion. That'll put another 15 million bus trips on, where people will move out of their cars and onto buses. That's the best evidence that Auckland Transport can give us. It will enable us to replace our ferries with electric ferries, and ferries produce about 21% of all public transport emissions. It'll enable us to plant more trees in those areas with poor canopy covers. They're low-income areas, and this is as heat protection and greening and making those places more pleasant places to be. We're talking about mature trees, you know, 2 metres high, etc. So we can do some really, really good things, as well as laying the foundation for reducing our emissions, which we have to do with some urgency.
Now,
if we don't spend the money now, it'll cost us 3 or 4 times as much later when the disaster has happened and we're trying to remedy it. And I'd rather, you know, stitch in time saves nine. I'd rather get in, do the work now. We all know it needs to be done. It needs to be done now. It's time to just stop talking and walk the talk. Put the action into effect.
In that vein, our next thing to talk about is trees here in Tāmaki Makaurau. There's particularly quite a heated conversation going on at the moment about a section of original native forest in the Kohimarama Forest section. It's about a 2.3 hectare block of bush that is being considered to be sold to a developer. This has been something that has been quite widely pushed back against by a variety of different environmental and urban planning groups. Now, is this on the council's radar? Are you involved in the conversation at all? What's happening here?
Yeah, the local board and the local board member, I think, are involved in that process. It's land owned by the Melanesian Mission, so it's private land. We can't control what a private owner does with the land they own, and they're putting it out for tender. Now, we looked at this, or council looked at this, the council officers looked at this way back in 2013. And I've seen a video of it. I haven't been actually through the bush to have a look at it. It looks like a nice piece of bush, but the independent experts in 2013 declined to make it a significant ecological area, and council officers have said, in terms of acquisition, this is not in the list of top priorities for the city. But what there's a local group set up there, the Kohimarama Forest Preservation Group. And, you know, this is an area that's pretty well resourced, and I think they've got some good contacts and good ability to fundraise. And they want to put forward their own offer, and they've had what they describe themselves as positive discussions with the Trust Board.
Okay.
So it'd be fantastic if they could reach a deal with the Trust Board to buy that land and preserve it with its current cover.
Is it enough, though, to hope that you will have a well-resourced group who is able to get the money together to buy this off a private developer or a private entity? Is that enough, or should the council be taking more action here? Because we've seen over the last, you know, 2 years, a lot of really highly fought over tree situations in the city, and this comes back to the issue that we have ongoing of not enough tree protections in Tāmaki Makaurau. What is going to be the bigger conversation that comes out of this?
Well, in the last conversation, you were asking about whether we could afford to put $1.10 a week on people for climate change, which is going to devastate everything. And people, you know, the opponents out there are saying, no, we don't want to pay a cent more. But everybody would like to see the council spend more. Well, we are spending quite a lot of money on reserves, but we have to prioritise it. We have to make sure that they're spread fairly across the city, covering all areas and not just some areas. And we can't buy every piece of land that has a tree on that we want to preserve.
Well, does that mean that we need to be hearing some better tree protections brought in for the city?
Absolutely. And I've been fighting hard with, in 2012, Nick Smith and the National Government took away Auckland Council's power of general protection over trees, where significant trees, you'd have to go through a process before you could cut them down. We lost that power in 2012. And I've been fighting with government to restore that power, because the only way we can do it at the moment is get an arborist to inspect each tree individually and then do it through a plan change, which ends up costing thousands of dollars per tree. It's totally inefficient and ineffectual. What we want is something approaching that general tree protection back, and then we could do something about trees that are on private land. At the moment, we have no powers. I've got plenty of power to plant new trees, and we've been planting 1 million new native plants a term under the mayoral program. And we're doing that on places that we can protect. The climate action targeted rate would plant street trees that we can protect, but I have no power to protect trees that are on private land.
So would you like to see this conversation fast-tracked in government? Because this is something we keep coming back to.
I've been pushing it. I've written to the minister several times. I raised it at the local government New Zealand conference. I got 79% support from councils around the country to restore that power, and we haven't had it restored. National took it away and Labor hasn't put it back yet, but I'm still keen and still working on the Minister for the Environment to restore that power so we can stop some of the, you know, the notable, we're not talking about any tree in this, we're talking about notable trees that by their age, by their species, by their presence in the community are significant trees that we would like to protect. And we've been begging the government to give us that power back, but we haven't had it given back to us yet, and it's very frustrating.
Well, thank you for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Gough. We'll talk to you again next week before we have a break for the holidays, but we appreciate you on the show every week, and I hope you enjoy our sort of time in the red light system at the moment.
Yeah, I've been calling Auckland a red light district, which is probably not the right description, but it is good. We're glad to be back there, and let's look forward to 2022 and hope it's a better year for everyone.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay,
ka kite.
Take care. Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough.
Thank you.